and welcome back to the Kumi Cherie podcast. This is season two. We are excited to be here with you. I am Kish Kumi Price.
I am Dina Cherie.
And we are excited to be in this space with you all again. We took some time off. God has blessed us to be able to refresh and to be ready for a new season. We have some exciting things planned for you all. So really, really stay tuned and bring other people with you. We're excited about expanding our community. Yep. And for today, we're talking about Arise, Beloved, Say I Do.
Hold on, before you go there, because it just kind of reminded me, we took a break. We took a couple of weeks off.
We did.
And it was good and it was needed and was refreshed. And so I just felt maybe the need to prompt, to remind, to encourage our listeners to take a break, right? Mm-hmm. Take a break. You know, the world you know, being what we do, you know, we're podcasters, we're, you know, every week posting this and that. The world will tell you in order to be successful, you have to be posting content several times a day, every day, all day. You cannot let your listeners, your viewers, you know, not see you every day. You've got to bombard them with who you are, with what you're talking about, with your message, with your brand. You got to be out there. That's what the world would tell us. But God is different.
Yeah.
Right. And it is a grace over grind culture. Right. We are a grace over grind. And so we're not grinders. We have lived that life. Mm-hmm. We know what that life is about. And now we move in grace. And when God says we need a break, when it's Sabbath time, we shall Sabbath.
Yes.
Okay? So
rest.
You guys don't think that you've got to live up to the world standards. When God says rest, you should rest, because otherwise your body's gonna shut down and make you rest anyways.
So true.
Okay, now on to the show.
So true. Yes, and we got some good stuff for you all. And I'm glad that you did say that, because that pause, the resistance is there, right? Like the resistance to not want to, because you're so used to going. So it did take a minute to like get out of that routine. So it's worth it though. It's worth it, because we came back refreshed. We came back with some goodies that we think God is going to really grow all of us on this journey. So for today, our episode is focused on Say I Do. And our grounding scripture, I'm going to read that really quickly and then toss out a question for Dina. I am jealous for you. This is 2 Corinthians 11:2. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. Okay. Take that in. He's a jealous God. He's jealous for us. With a godly jealousy. He promised you and I to one husband, to Christ, so that he can present us as a pure virgin to him. Okay. So the question here that I like to share just to get us started is when he says that he's a jealous God, What do you think when you hear that?
So of course, you know, your mind goes to practical life experiences, right? So you think about dating someone and them being uncomfortable with a guy that you've been friends with, right? That you're friends with, and now you're in this space with someone you're actually dating, and they're uncomfortable, right? So they don't want you sharing intimate thoughts, intimate ideas, feelings, or whatever with somebody else other than them, right? Intimacy or being jealous could be about how you present yourself, right? And so, you know, I think of it, makes me think about when I was clubbing, right? I had club clothes, okay? We all had club clothes, you know?
Right.
And thinking about, you know, perhaps how, you know, God felt about me presenting my body right that way, because he says that our bodies are a living sacrifice, right? We're supposed to be living epistles. Since when did the living epistle have,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Party over here. So I'm just thinking about
Right.
how, you know, so when someone is jealous of you, right? And it's not, and here's the thing, our form of jealousy is wrapped in not God. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we our idea, see them, like our idea of jealousy is different from what God's idea of jealousy is, right? It is not in a way of controlling. The jealousy here on the earth, I feel like it's controlling. It can be manipulative. God is not any of those things, right? He just recognizes that you are part of him, and there's a standard here. This is how we do this. This is how you are to be reserved, married, you know, to me. This is what my bride looks like. This is how my bride presents itself. So I feel, you know, I feel like this always is very heavy for people because they're like, what do you mean by jealousy? And what do you mean? Do you know what I mean? I'm married, right? That whole idea of like, I'm a bride. People are like, that's weird, God. What do you mean? You know, like it puts people off a little bit. I remember being a young Christian kind of being like, I don't have those feelings about you, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not, but understanding the relationship is like a marriage. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be that type of bonded. But yeah, that jealousy bit, you know, does remind you of your life experiences, but really it's another level because God doesn't want to control us. If he wanted to control us, everybody'd be saved. Everybody would be going, right? Everybody, no one would be sinning. It's not, he doesn't want control. He's not trying to manipulate, right? But he is trying to guide us in a direction that's the best for our lives. And I think that's the difference between how we deal with jealousy here and how he, the definition of what he means when he says he's jealous for us.
Yeah, that's good. And you know it, if we think about the time, right? Like I know when we're in this space of prioritizing our relationship with Christ and being in a place where we're asking on a daily basis, like to be in that abiding space where he takes precedence in everything. And I know there were times where I had committed a period of time, like I'm going to make sure that I spend time, dedicated time with you, where I'm worshiping, reading the word and all. And I would feel the pull, I would feel the invitation, and I would also feel the pull of all the things that I felt like I needed to do, you know, like whatever was on my list. And I realized as I was in that fight at times where it just felt inconvenient to stop what I was doing or step away or whatever, that it was in that moment, I could feel what I sensed as the jealousy piece of it, right? Where it's like, do you really think what you're doing right now is more important than spending time with me? Or do you really think this person or this thing on your list has more space for your life than me? You know, like at that, I remember feeling that. And it was something that I needed to lean into because at any point in time, and I can think of very specific times where whether it was me and my own desires that would take priority, or it was somebody else's voice, or not wanting to make somebody feel a certain way, but God saying to do this, you know, like it's always that tug. And when he says he's jealous, it's like because we are supposed to be in a place where it's like you matter more to me than how this person's going to feel if I have to say this thing, or you matter more to me than what I have to do over here that doesn't feel comfortable, but I need to do it. You matter more to me than my sleep, my abundance of sleep that I want. You know what I mean? So when you say, wake up and pray, or wake up and study, or spend some time, I can do that because I understand that you matter more. And I think that sometimes, like you were saying, like that jealousy just has this negative connotation to it because we think of jealousy in the earthly realm. But God's godly jealousy, when he says that I, with a godly jealousy is not the same as human man jealousy, mankind, right? Like it's completely different. And when we realize that it's that, and that it's like our Father wants to spend that time with us, He wants to have that number one spot, it puts everything else into perspective, completely into a different perspective.
You know, one of the things that, you know, I just, like, I feel like the Holy Spirit just keeps, like, boomeranging. Like, when we are in a situation where, you know, like how you said you felt like you couldn't pull away, or, you know, we're just mismanaging, misprioritizing, right? Well, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
We're serving another idol. Because
it's back to idols.
Yeah, it's taking precedence over what we should be doing with God, for God, about God, whatever the case may be. And I think that, you know, there is just this, I can't even think of the word I'm trying to say. On the download of God's heart, He is addressing idols. I feel like if you don't know that, if you don't know anything about what's happening in this season right now, God is addressing His church. He's addressing His kids. He's addressing His bride. He is addressing us, and He is addressing us in the area of idols, because we don't really understand how many places we have pitched up an idol. We don't understand how many places we've carved out some random image. Do you know what I mean? The Israelites had created an image, and it said unknown God. And it's like, Paul was like, wait a minute. You have a carved image of an unknown God, and yet you have this guy that has a whole name over here that created that. He was like, I don't get it. Make it make sense. You know?
Right.
What we don't really understand is that a lot of things that we are doing in our lives, a lot of what motivates us is an idol. It really is, you know? And so it goes back to saying, I'm a jealous guy. Because the other scripture says, I'm a jealous guy. You should not have any idols before me.
Right.
I'm a jealous guy.
Right. But sometimes it's like, yeah, I was going to say, sometimes the idol is not even, like, a lot of times we think that it's a person or something, right? But sometimes it's an idea. You know, like, I was trying to explain the ridiculous state that I was in at one point, and I've talked about it in previous episodes, but when I had experienced divorce, but I was on the other side of it, and I was, you know, in this place of being somewhat bitter about the process, about what I had experienced and endured, and felt as if I could almost compartmentalize my Christianity, where it was like, God, I know you're God and I want you to be God over here, but I'm going to do me over here because I feel like I missed something. I justified in my own mind that it made sense for me to explore my sexuality over here in this season because I didn't get to do it over here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God is not about that, right? And when he literally says, in order that the goal is to present us as a pure virgin to Him, He prioritizes that because He's saying, when you allow me to be first in your life and your focus is on me, you're going to just automatically be in this place of understanding my holiness, which allows you to pursue your holiness in me, which means you then can be presented faultless, blameless, as a virgin unto Christ. And we, I think, because we have so much, like there's so much trying to pull at us, weigh us down, we're so susceptible to falling into the trap of the enemy if we are not prioritizing Christ in that way, where it's like, you are number one, I am seeking you, striving for you. And it's interesting. I'm not going to call out names because I don't remember the actual pastor's names, but I saw something recently where, actually just last night, where there was a men's conference, and at the, this is a Christian men's conference. And in the beginning of that conference, they had a male stripper, if you will. Don't ask me why. I don't know the context. All I know is that there was a man who took off his shirt in front of a pole and all this. I think it was just to a wow factor to get them. Don't ask me. I can't even try to make sense of it. However, another pastor came up who was a guest for this conference, and he said, hey, you know, God has had me up since 1 o'clock this morning praying. I have to call this out. This is not of God. You know, there was a pole here. There was a man who took off his shirt as if, you know, he was stripping. God would not be pleased with this. He swallowed a sword. He ascended. I guess after he did all of this, he went up and he said, and God, this is all antichrist. Like, this is not of God. This is satanic. This is demonic. And as he's saying that, the pastor who was putting on the conference says, you're out of line. You're out of line. And then he comes up to the right podium. Now. I'm not even playing. The pastor who called this out said, okay, like basically like you're saying I'm out of line. He put his cap on, packed up his Bible and walked off the stage.
Yes, he did.
The pastor who was hosting the conference. Yes, he did. He said, I said what I said. If it's not welcome here, I'm dusting off and I'm gone. The pastor who was the host pastor comes up to the podium, and people in the crowd are like booing and everything because they're mad that he didn't allow the pastor to say what he was saying. And he says, he's out of line. He's out of line. The Bible says that if you have an ought with, you know, somebody, you're supposed to speak with them privately. We talked for 30 minutes before this. He didn't say anything to me about it. He's out of line. Okay. I'm saying all of this because I believe we are in a period of time where God is calling us to stand up. He's calling us to stand out. He's calling us to call out the things that are not of Him. And in order for us to be able to have that kind of awareness, that discernment, that courage, we have to be close to Him. Like, we have to be able to be close to Him so that we can be used by Him. Because how many people were in that crowd that saw what was going on
right. And
didn't say anything or just right. Received it as like, oh, this is entertainment. This is whatever. I don't know. Yep. But we got to be able to call that out.
Yeah. When we think about, I think one of the things that we just don't think of when we think about our relationships with our relationship with God is that what it looks like when a husband and a wife are together, right? When a husband mm-hmm. has a bride and what his responsibilities mm-hmm. are, right? Like, our society, mm-hmm. it is so far from what God established and ordained. It's so far from it. It's hard to even understand what the role of a husband is really supposed to be, right? And it's not happening on the earth, because it absolutely is. However, the general population, right, man and female, right, they have no idea mm-hmm. about how they're actually supposed to function together. And so if you don't have mm-hmm. any, like, you don't have an example of that, you didn't see your parents, you didn't see your grandparents, you don't have church members, if you don't have anyone around you, right, to kind of show you what that really looks like, it's really, really mm. hard for you to understand that relationship with you and God. It is a deep learning curve. And I'm just saying from personal
experience,
my parents weren't together. My grandparents weren't together. My grandparents on my father's side that were together, we weren't really close like that. So I wasn't mm-hmm. front view of their relationship, you know? And so, you know, this relationship with me and God and understanding a bride's role and understanding His role and submitting to that, right, has been a deep learning curve. You know, I'm like, Jesus, I'm better, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm still learning. I'm still learning what that looks like in His full role and responsibility. And I think that's what happens with a lot of us, is that we don't understand why He's doing the things that He's doing and how He's doing the way, we just don't understand it. And then therefore it's rejected. And we don't understand it because we don't know Him. And so it becomes a cyclical thing that happens. It's because we don't understand them, we reject it, right? And it's like, you're going to keep on doing that because you don't understand them. The minute that you reverse it and you start to have a relationship with Him, then you start to understand why He's doing, mm-hmm. Why He's saying what He's saying, and really mm-hmm. treat Him like how you and I are talking. Like, full-on conversation. When I talk to Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. I'm not like, and dear Holy Spirit, Will you? No. I'm like, now you know. That made me really mad. Like, I have a full-on conversation.
Listen, let me, I'm so glad you said this. Let me say something that's been a breakthrough for me recently. I have always kind of been trained to be like, Lord God, thank you so much for it. You know, like just in the very and praying in more of the instructed, adoration,
Pious,
confession,
that
thanksgiving,
how long be
supplication, acts. Yes. And recently I've been more like I'm very conversational with him in my mind, right? Like internal conversation. But recently I've been doing more audible conversation with him in my private time, right? Like I've been doing more time outside walking and on the porch or whatever. And I'll put in my AirPods or something like that so that if I'm walking and I'm amongst other people, like you don't think I'm just talking to myself. I like we're God and I are having a conversation. It's like we're on the phone. We're not, but we're, he can hear me. And it's so good and it's so refreshing. Like I really do encourage you all to do that. Not just recently, our counselor, I was sharing with him that that was something that I was doing, and he was just like, he brought up this scripture, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so good. But he said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he was just like, sometimes when you're hearing yourself talking to God and hearing you yourself saying the word to God out loud, it does increase your faith. It helps you to see things differently, receive it differently, and increase your faith. And I was like, man, that's what I'm experiencing. That's exactly what it is. So, highly encourage that. And then, one other quick thing, and then I'm going to ask Dina to share something. I hope you'll be okay with it. If you're not, you'll let me know. But this has to do with Micah real quick. Our youngest son, he was jumping up and down. I think that's what was happening. He was jumping up and down. And I kept saying, like, Micah, stop jumping. And he was like, I'm not jumping. And I'm like, Micah, stop jumping. And he's like, I'm not jumping. I'm looking at this boy jumping. And I'm like, you are jumping. Like, stop. And he finally did, but I was just like, what was that? Like, usually if we say stop doing something, he'll stop or he'll be like, why or what, but why was he so adamant that he wasn't doing something? And it clicked to me that a lot of times that's what we're doing. Like God is trying to correct things in our lives. He's trying to call things out, and we're acting like he's not aware of what he's aware of, right? He knows. So this is my segue into this question, big question for you, Dana. So we, as y'all know, we talk privately as well, and something Dina shared with me that I thought was so profound and like encouraged me to do the same thing around getting into this place of purity and sanctification. Like we go through this forgiveness cycle where we're forgiving people, we're asking for forgiveness from God, we're repenting. And you shared that God had given you instruction to do something that would allow for you to go to the next step of actually praying for the other person involved. And I'm wondering if you remember that, if you recall that conversation, and if you can share with our listeners what that experience was like so that we all can be encouraged and pursue the same thing.
You might have to give me a clue.
Okay. This is around the purity sanctification space, right? And I know we're talking about say I do and us presenting ourselves. Yes, the list.
We should just call it the list. All right.
There we go.
Are you okay? Listen, it's fine. It's fine. Okay, so here's
Okay,
what
okay.
happened. I was studying the Word of God. Okay, I was studying the Word of God, and I don't know. I don't even remember at the moment what I was reading. I was probably reading something about deliverance, to be quite honest with you, because that's what I study. So I was reading probably about deliverance, and I think I went into just repentance and prayer again about the acts of fornication that I've had in my life, to be quite honest with you, the acts of fornication I had in my life. And I just, began, talking to God and just saying, I'm really sorry for that act. I know I've prayed, I know I've asked for your forgiveness, I've received forgiveness, but I just want you to know, I really am sorry about I did that. You know, sometimes when you hurt somebody's feelings and you are genuinely sorry, there's sometimes it comes back as you do that. You're like, I'm really sorry I said that to you. And the person's like, oh, it's fine. We're moved on. But there's something in you. It's just like, I hope you really know that I'm really sorry I did that. That's what I was doing, right? And so the Holy Spirit said to me, which he's so smooth with it. This is what he said to me. He said, you know, you've been forgiven. And he said, but what you have not prayed for was your role in making those people sin. You asked for forgiveness for yourself and you got it. But you didn't ask for mercy or for God to forgive the people that you also led into sin. And some of those people that you have fornicated with are still fornicating. So you have moved from that place. You're not there. You have found your way. You are finding your way. But some people that you have fornicated with have not found their way. And they're still doing that very same thing with somebody else. And you need to pray for mercy upon those people. And when I tell you I was dumb, because never in my mind had I considered to pray for the people that I was in sinful acts with. And so we don't got to talk, it doesn't have to be fornication. If y'all used to boost together, if y'all was just in Macy's boosting, you know what I mean? whatever.
Seriously.
Yeah, whatever.
Burning clothes, all that. Yes.
Like whatever sinful act you committed with someone, and especially if you know that they have not given their lives over to Christ, for one, you need to repent for how you led them down a dark path. But then also pray for God's mercy to be upon them and that they find their way. And that also may be a point where you need to go minister and say, hey, me and you used to do this together. Me and you used to do this. I know where you are. Come on, let's follow me. This is another way you can be. And so, you know, and then on top of that, you know, while Kish, we said the list, because once Holy Spirit said that to me and broke that down, he also said, I want you to write a list. And I was like, of all of them? And y'all don't play me. Don't be like, oh, how many is it? Don't do it, okay? But there are people. You see what I'm saying? Because I can see all of ones right now being like, This is how the Holy Spirit clarified the list. The Holy Spirit said, yeah, the ones that you went all the way with and the ones that you went halfway with, and the ones that you thought about, the ones that you fantasized about, the ones that you wondered, all of those ones, the ones that you wondered, all of the ones. And so if you think about a lifetime that you've had, and especially if you've lost your virginity way before marriage, right? In your teenage years, you might have a couple of notches in your belt. Okay. And when Holy Spirit what he meant as a list, not just the ones you went the way with, but all the halfway ones, all the quarter mile, all the eighth mile, and all the ones that you thought, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I meant
to. Right. And it says that if you're in your thinking, you know, if you've already thought about carrying out an act with someone, you've essentially done it. That's what it says in the word. So that is real. And I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and the other part of that was beyond just making the list, because then I had to meticulously go through each person, call out their name before God, repent for where I led them, for me being a part of that act, and pray for God's mercy on their lives. I had to do that for each person. And let me tell you something now. I said, Holy Spirit, if I have forgotten somebody, because, you know, that happens, please remind me. Didn't he, though? Didn't he remind me a week later after the assignment? And I thought I was complete. He said, remember such and such? And I was like, dang. Got my little index card out. You see what I'm saying? So
listen.
It's so
important, though. It's not.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yes. No. I was going to say it's so important because it's not. You know, we're talking about it in this particular arena, in this aspect of, you know, purity and presenting yourself in that way. But he also sees that as, you know, the thing, the people we need to forgive or we may have an ought with, that's another list, right? Like of people that you are, have been offended by. You may hold some kind of bitterness with or whatnot. That's another list to walk through. And sometimes he may lead us to address those people, you know, on whatever list they're on. But that's part of the work of getting into that place of, you know, that's one of the say I do, say I do to forgiving, say I do to, you know, praying for those that you've sinned with or sinned against. That that's real. And so I know that we've kind of hit our time, but we want to encourage you all to continue to do this work. It is tough sometimes. Nobody wants to go back. We're not asking you to reflect on your life in a way that you started to become burdened by it. But we want to take the burden that's already there, the stuff that you've stuffed, and really lay that before God. So as we close out, we are asking you to continue to pray for us and what we're doing here in this journey with you. And we're praying for you and really, 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 really hope and pray that you will find it useful to do the work. Don't just go by the words of, you know, yeah, that sounds good, but actually apply it to your own lives, because that's where the good stuff is. And really quickly, I'm going to pray this prayer. I thought it was dope, but I had never paid attention to it. It's in Psalm 20 and it's verses 4 and 5.
Okay.
May he grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed.
Yes.
May we shout for joy when we hear of your victory.
Yes.
And raise a victory banner in the name of our God. May the Lord answer all your prayers.
Amen.
That is the prayer for today.
Amen.
Amen.
Bye, you guys. Have a great day.
Till next time.
Kumi Sheree.
Kumi Sheree.